If you have a Sefer Vayikra, it's great. You should open to Perek Chaf Gimel. And we're going to learn the Pesukim about Sfiras HaOmer. And we're going to start with Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Tes. So what we have there, basically what I'm going to hopefully achieve, and if I don't do it all in this one shot, we'll do some more next week, is we're going to talk about the transition from the first day Pesach into Sfiras HaOmer. We're going to talk about what the carbon omer is, and then we're going to talk about the two aspects of the counting, both weeks and days. Each thing, each part of it has beautiful symbolism. It's very rich with stuff. And here we go. Okay, so pasuk test, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe l'emor, Davar b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, Tell b'nei Yisrael, Ki sabo el ha'aretz, when you arrive in Eretz Yisrael, that I'm giving you, and you harvest the harvest. You should bring an omer, which is a measure, which is the amount a person can eat in one day. We know that from the month. So it's a bring a day's worth of food. It's of the first katsira, the first harvest, which is barley. It's the earliest thing that that harvests. And one person's waiting. I don't know what that means. One person's waiting. Somebody's trying to get in? David Ryan. Oh, sorry, David. Okay, now you're in. Sorry, David. Good to see you there. Okay. So you should bring a katsira of flour and bring it to the Kohen. So what exactly are you bringing? So first of all, says Rav Shamshon Paul Hirsch, that the first day of Pesach, we were given our freedom. You know from the matzah that even the freedom itself, we didn't really have it. We were eating food of slaves because we needed to be reminded that the freedom really wasn't anything natural and normal. We would have been slaves even at the very moment that we were leaving. We were eating and had to produce the food that slaves would eat. Hashem was trying to tell us our entire freedom came from Him. So that's one thing to have freedom. But now when you get to Eretz Yisrael, you now get national independence. You get a country, you get a land. So is that it? You get out of slavery and you get a place, and that's what the nation aspires to? So this mitzvah of Omer, we'll see all the parts of it, are there to teach us, no, actually, this is the beginning of what it takes to form a nation. It's not the goal, it's the starting point. So the first katsira that you get, the first moment you have anything of your own, you have your wealth and you have some semblance of prosperity, so you bring that to the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen is your representative in your relationship with Hashem, and the Beis HaMikdash in Hirsch's dictionary is the house of the Torah. Everything in the Beis HaMikdash, according to Hirsch, even the Mizbeach is not you serving Hashem on the Mizbeach, it's really you're touching the connection with your that Hashem gave you for the Torah. It's a lot to say on the subject, which is you need to know this to appreciate the rest that's going to flow from this. That he understands the fire on the Beis HaMikdash, on the top of the Mizbech, as Eish Das. It's the fire. We Jews performing the mitzvahs are the fuel for that fire.
Call from King David.
Okay. Okay. I'll get that later.
Mute.
Okay. Okay, so now a komets, a certain measurement of a handful of this barley is taken, but it's more than that. The flour is not the only thing you bring. Together with that is oil, and there's also lovaina. These are the three components that are later that are going to be brought now, and there's going to be tenufa and hagasha. Tenufa is the waving of it, and you're ma'ilchum mevi, which means just like we do with the luluf. You, in all four directions, you put it away from yourself and bring it back to your body, and all four directions, and then up and down. And that's Milo and Myri. So these two emotions, Hirsch explains it here, and he explains it more by the original Tanufa we find in the Torah is when they were dedicating Aaron for the Avodah and the Levium. That's where he says this, but he refers you there. So whatever it is that we're dedicating, and here it's the barley flour, it's the oil and the levaina, which represents, flour represents material nourishment, oil represents prosperity, And Levaina represents sensual satisfaction, the fragrances, it gives you personal joy, physical joy. All of these aspects of what we're now getting, we're a nation and we're becoming independent and we have our land, and we mix all of this the grain with all the other things that represent a nation that's arrived and it has stuff. We're malachomevi these things, meaning we're moving it away from ourselves. We don't want to be selfish. And where our concern is, there in Shemos, he says, it's got to do with our community. It's not just, I don't need my nourishment, my prosperity, and my satisfaction for myself. I have it vis-a-vis everyone around me. So that's, I bring it away from me, then, and only then is it worth something for myself. And the same thing with Myra and Myra. When we lift it up, so we're moving away from our earthliness and our just physicality, and we're dedicating these things to some higher purpose. And then we bring it back then. Now it's available for us when we put it into that perspective. So that's the beginning, the launching of Klal Yisrael having prosperity, having these things, having a land, is to now take it and dedicate it to something higher. But once you've done Tanufa, the next thing is Hagasha, which means you take it, you touch the corner of the Mizbeach with this, which is submitting all of these things in homage to Hashem's Torah. As I said before, it's not just Avleidus Hashem in Mizbeach, but it's the place where we connect Hashem, we raise everything up on the Mizbeach in the view of the Kodesh HaGadashim, which is, we know that our Kodesh is there, represents listening to Hashem's Torah and living it the way he wants us to. So we're makdish all of our earthly existence to the Tzibur and to Hashem. And only then are we allowed to start using all the grain that we have. I'm not getting into all the technicalities. I know we got a brisker here. Marshall Lieberman is going to tell me over dinim of which moment this will become mutter, into chadash and all that stuff. I'm not going to get into all that, but just in generality, that's the main point. That is, once you've dedicated your national wealth and you've been unselfish about it, now it's permissible. Okay, so let's move on with the second. So after the tnufa, as you can see it there, it's Pasuk Yud Aleph. I'm skipping that. Okay, and then, oh wait, no, I'm skipping a lot. You bring it up. Okay, you bring the mincha. Okay, Pasuk Tesvav. Ustartem lochem, you should count to yourselves, Mimachas HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos. There's two pages if you really want to hear very wise words of Hirsch. I'm not getting into this, but if you want to see him refute the Tzdukim, he does a great job here. The Tzdukim said he had to wait till literally Saturday, and then Sunday, the first Sunday, whenever Pesach starts. So he has two pages explaining why they were wrong. It's very nice, but I can just let you know, if you want to learn it and you have a Hirsch in your house, you can look it up right here in this passage. He has two pages on it. Anyway, so you should count. We know Machos HaShabbos means starting after the first Yontif. From the time that, from the day that you brought this Omer that was waived, Sheva Shabbosos Tinimos Tiyena. Okay. Seven complete Shabbosos. So there's another place in the Torah where it says Shavuos. Here it says Shabbosos. The point here, and this is a really beautiful, beautiful piece he has on this. The word idea, the idea of Shabbos as a week, when you use the term Shabbos, when you're defining a week, it means a period of 7 days under the influence, with the mindset of Shabbos. Just like we know from other Gemaras, that other places, that the first part of the week is still remaining from what Shabbos influenced, and the next part of the week is heading toward Shabbos. So anytime there's a counting of 7 days and it's called Shabbos, that means the Shabbos is supposed to be your influence during this period of time, and whatever Shabbos represents. So we're commanded to count from the day of our freedom and prosperity. That's the first day, right? We just had Yetzias Mitzrayim on the first day, Yontif. And now we have this Omer, which we now have this material wealth. And we're feeling our national independence. And now we're supposed to imbibe this mindset with the Shabbos idea. So having all of the above is just the beginning of what our national aspirations are. Seven times. And he has literally 12 pages on the subject of seven and eight. and collected writings. It's amazing. It blew my mind. I think he has 100 places in the Torah where he discusses what different kinds of seven, and he categorizes everything. So maybe a different time we'll get into what seven is and eight. It's nothing like the Maharal at all. It's his own completely new approach. But seven times, meaning a completion. That's how he learned seven and part one of what seven means here. Seven times, Shabbos is to have it, I'm reading it straight out of his words, is to have its educating influence on our active and working lives. Seven times we are to accept the O Malchus Shamayim, because that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is where, when Hashem first made the world, 6 days where he was visible in the actions, and then on the seventh day, nothing happened. It's the invisible God that's there and waiting for him to be, waiting for humanity, waiting for the human race to sense that there's a God in the world. By our not doing malacha, so we're noticing that there's a creator, we're not the creators. Because malacha is human creativity. By not doing that, we're noticing that there's a God in the world. And if there's a God in the world, there must be something he wants me to do with my life. So as we are now heading into our independence with our wealth, and we have these three components of the tenufa, seven times Hashem wants us to think about what is this life on earth here? There's a God in the world, and we're to dedicate all of this to something higher. So once you do that, then your freedom and your land will have been purified by the idea of Shabbos. And then we're worthy of reaching our goal. And we all know from our Messiah, the goal that we're heading to, the timing works out, but that's Matan Torah. Shabbos trains people to surrender to Hashem through our Shlitzus Malacha. The idea of Shabbos is, sorry? Question? No? So Shabbos is the mechanics by which we learn to stop and notice and take in that there's a God in the world, and we're to dedicate ourselves to Hashem. So if there's a Shabbos theme in our counting by being called Sheva Shabbosos, so seven times meaning a complete set of it, that's how the first Sheva, Shabbosos, seven, meaning over and over again, do this idea of letting Shabbos permeate your mindset. As you have now consecrated the Makdish, your physical and your sensual and your prosperity and your satisfaction, your nourishment, now let Shabbos penetrate your whole being. That's Shabbosos. But that's not the only mitzvah. How are we doing with time? We have time for Yamin? We're good? Okay. So then the next pasuk says, Adi Mocharas Shabbos Hashviya. So you keep counting until after the seventh Shabbos, the seventh time you're counting these weeks. Tisperu, you'll be counting Chamishim Yom. So now, all of a sudden, we're talking about 50 days. And then you bring a new carbon, you grab the mitzvah chadash on Hashem, there's a special carbon to be brought, not tonight's topic. So now the Torah tells us that besides this counting of weeks, there's a separate counting of days. So what's this counting of days all about? Like as I'll say, tomorrow somewhere, mitzvah l'nim niyami, or mitzvah l'nim niyishavui, there's mitzvah both days and weeks. So I'm not going to get into the thing in great length, because it's literally 12 pages in collected writings on Bris Milah. But he says this is really just like by Bris Milah. There's a general rule, he says, by in all inyanim of Tum and Tahara. The completion of 7 days every time represents emergence from a state of Tumma at the end of seven, and then by the time you get to the eighth day, you're in a state of Tahara. It's not that eight is the counting, it's really eight is the result of the seven. That there's always, each day apparently is some sort of a focus on, your mindset is focused on what the transition is, and there's a process of working through this transition. It's not the Shabbos idea, it's something else. And it's the idea of ridding yourself of what Hirschberg already explained, we did this by Paraduma, we talked about this, the idea of Tumah. He says that's the Kal Gadol of all Inani Tumah, which, to remind you all briefly, the idea of Tumah was the illusion that things in this world are not what you think they are. They're just this world of nature. And nature can ride you over. It can just ruin everything. And there is no higher purpose to it all. When things go wrong, you get depressed and you think, well, what's the purpose of it all? Person dies, so there's no purpose to life. And that's a tumma, that's a mindset, he says. Tumma is a certain spiritual attachment to a depressed state of not realizing the purpose of uplifting this world. And he develops this thing every time he talks about tumma in the Torah. And the emergence from that is a process of growing past that mistake to realize that everything in this world does have a purpose, to be dedicated to something higher. It's very similar to Shabbos, but tumma is a certain state of mind, and you're transitioning out of it through focusing constantly on realizing, no, there really is a purpose to it all, and I need to dedicate myself to tahara, to something. Tahara, he says, is moral freedom. It's the understanding that we can choose what we want to do, and we can live a higher life. That's tahara. Tumma is the state of, I'm stuck. Nature is what it is, and I'm stuck, and it overtakes me, and nothing I can do about it. And in each case of tumma, there's a certain mindset of, well, it is what it is, and I'm stuck. Tumas nida is like, well, I didn't have a trial. Nature is going to take its course. And tumma, to emerge from that is the idea, no, it's not true. That's not, nature is not in control, God's in control. Every aspect of counting seven in Yoni Tumma Tahara, he says, is the same idea in different ways. So he says like this, besides the Shabbos idea that we're submitting ourselves to Hashem, so for 49 days, which is 7 times 7 days, we're merging Tahara on the 50th. So we rid ourselves, I'm just quoting his words, we rid ourselves of all addiction to the senses, the sensual tumma, which is lack of free will, to enter Tahara, the realm of moral freedom. Just like day 8 of Bris Milah. So he says that basically, what's happening here is that there's two prerequisites to Matan Torah, Shabbos and Bris Milah. Bris Milah is where he really develops it at great length in this 12-page essay, but it's the same idea of emerging from a period of seven to sanctify something which could have been misused and misunderstood. So while this unable to be a lot of thinking to get past the tumma thinking, the tumma mindset of what happens when you're a slave leaving Mitzrayim, and even though you now have your wealth, you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have possessions, but you could be schlepped into just the physical way of looking at all that. So Shabbos is to remind yourself, no, there's a higher purpose to it all. But the avoda of the transition is what he calls something similar to the counting period of seven and all these various transfers of tumma to tahara. So when we emerge from that, just like on the 8th day, that's the day of Bris Milah. So on the 50th day, that's the moment of Matan Torah. Let me just read for you what he says here. This attainment, oh, hold on a second, no, wrong place. I want to read the end of all this. Yeah. In accordance with all the above, the meaning of the 50th day, which is the day immediately following the period of 7 times 7 days, resembles the meaning of the 8th day of Milah. If we consider now the two ideas of the counting, of the Shabbos weeks and of the days until the 50th day, it will become clear to us that they emanate from two mitzvahs, Shabbos and Milah, that are the foundation of the people of the Torah. Shabbos teaches us to surrender to God in nature and in history. That would mean we realize our natural existence, the whole Bria is Hashem, and history, meaning that everything that has ever happened from the beginning of our emergence is not just a political thing that we have a country, but there's a purpose behind the direction that we're moving, that Hashem is moving us. So that's the Shabbos idea. And to accept upon ourselves the yoke of his service. That's all part of Shabbos, when we realize that Hashem runs the world and there's a higher purpose. Milah teaches us to strive towards moral purity by subordinating the flesh to God's law of morality. So not just the mindset, but the dedication. Our body will not just be the natural body, but to something higher. These two fundamentals were instilled in the people long before it was established as the people of God's Torah. So he's saying this is a prerequisite to Matan Torah. Avraham Avinu was given Bris Milah. The second we left, by Bris Olam, there was already a concept of the Shabbos in the world. The world misunderstood it, didn't use it right, and there were all kinds of twisted understandings of what is spirituality. So Hashem reinvested one element of Klai, of human race, Klai Yisrael, to get the Torah. As soon as we left Mitzrayim on the other side by Mara, right away we were given Shabbos. It was one of the first things we got. Because Shabbos is a prerequisite. You need to understand this idea to be able to then be Mekabel HaTorah. So hence, he says, therefore we count days and weeks from the offering of the Omer to the day of the law-giving of the Mount Torah. Thus, they remember each year the two fundamentals that are elementary prerequisites for our great mission. There you go. And there you have Hersha and Sirus Omer. Weeks and days. Together with the idea of Tanufas Omer, I think we packed a lot in there.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay.
Okay,
so my plan is, I'm going to record this. I mean, it's been recording. I'm going to find a way to get this posted on my Hirsch website, and I'll send a link as soon as I figure out how to do that. So if you want to do any Chazar, it's going to be there.
Very nice.
Okay.
Next month's Shabbos again?
Yeah, I hope so. If I have what to say, I'm right. I got nothing.
What about? We don't do it in shul.
You haven't exhausted it again.
No, don't worry, we'll find something to say.
What about the fact that does he? I'm sure he has brilliant things to say about the fact that the Omer's barley oil and lavona.
Yeah, he does. He does. He does talk about that. He says that that's why Bikurim and later the Shtei Alechem is when we're finally ready. We only start in the beginning of the process. We're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
And that's why it's Michael. We ourselves are like behemoths, and we're getting it. We're developing who we are. When we finally develop it to perfection, that's when we're ready for Michael Avon.